Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my god!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert,
freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream in a very long time.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is a movie review episode. Along with Dan from UK Haunters, this episode we are discussing The Houses October Built. Or if you're here in the UK, it was called Houses of Halloween. A fantastic film, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a found footage slash documentary style of horror film all about travelling around the US finding haunted houses, scare attractions, but most importantly, trying to find out the most extreme haunt that they could find. And believe me, they found it. Before we go any further, heavy spoilers on this episode, guys, so make sure you watch the film first. If you're here in the UK, you can get it on Amazon Prime. I think I also downloaded it on Sky Plus as well, so check out where you can get it before you listen to this episode. Like I said, it was made in 2014, so it's 6 years old now, but it really is one of my favourites when it comes to the haunt horror genre of film. So without any further ado, let's get Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters onto the podcast and let's discuss The Houses October Built.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by Dan from UK Haunters. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
All good, man, as ever, all good.
Excellent. And we are here to talk about another horror film. Like I say, I am a fan of these, but Dan really knows his stuff when it comes to these sort of haunt genre horror films, especially the one we're going to talk about today, because it's a found footage style horror film. We're going to be talking, discussing about Houses October Built, or here in the UK, for some unknown random reason, it was called Houses of Halloween. One of my faves in this genre, to be honest, Dan. Is it up there for you?
I think it's third. It was top till Hellfest came about, which to me is the Halloween of the haunt horror genre. And then it was second until Haunt came about, which I also fell in love with. So it's been knocked down a couple of spaces, but that's not because it's not an amazing film. It's that the others are just super amazing.
Yeah, I get that. And also, this is now it's now 6 years old, so this was made in 2014. Like I say, it's an American found footage style of horror film, and you know, the synopsis, in a way, without giving too much away, although heavy spoilers in this discussion, by the way, guys, just like all the other interviews.
I will spoil
the hell out of this.
Get out of this. I really will. But
the general idea is basically a group of people. It's not like the other haunt genre films that we've watched where they just go to one random place and they're all killed or anything like that. This is more real. It's a realistic style of film. Like I said, it's found footage, documentary style. And it's a group of people who just want to have a bloody good Halloween and go and visit as many haunted attractions, scare attractions as they can, really. A bit like what we do at Scare Track, apart from they've got a really cool big RV and I have a 1.2 Fiesta. It's a bit different, but they have they go to some really, really awesome events, and like as we discuss this film, things take a little bit of a turn for the worse as they go deeper and deeper within trying to find the most extreme style haunt. So, Dan, first thoughts, like you say, this is now number three on your list. What are some key things that really just really jumped out for you about this film?
Well, I love found footage. Mm-hmm. There are a hell of a lot of bad people go, oh, yeah, but found footage is rubbish. No. Like anything, there is bad found footage. I was going to do a film with someone once who was going to do it found footage. And I was like, cool, why? And they said, oh, because, you know, most of it's just wandering around with a camera in the woods. And I was like, yeah, see, that is why people don't like it.
Yeah.
But when it's used well, it breaks down the TV screen wall, much the way Unfriended pushed it to the next step of actually being on the computer. Yes. Found footage breaks down that wall and makes it that creepier, because you literally in their shoes visually, mm-hmm. rather than putting yourselves in their shoes. So I've always liked found footage. I've loved the facts, and I really should work out the timeline of haunt horror becoming a thing. But I'm pretty sure How's October Built was very, gotta be one of the first.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, out of all the ones that we've discussed so far, and I've done a couple more on the YouTube channel, this is 2014. Haunt, I think, was 2019. Hellfest was 2018. So, yeah, this is definitely one of the earlier ones, for sure. And it did, you know, it made waves, especially in the scare attraction and haunted attraction industries. Everyone was talking about them. It helps that the producer, he produced Insidious and Paranormal Activity as well. But this is obviously a very different style of film to that. And like you say, Dan, found footage, when done well, can be done really well, isn't there? There is a love hate for it, but I found that watching this one, I mean, some found footage films, I get dizzy and I get sick because it is, like you say, there's too much just running around in the woods. Whereas with this, I didn't find it dizzy. I didn't find it sickening. I found it that although it was found footage style, it was still done with an element of grace, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they did quite clever things where you saw them hooking up cameras in the RV and around the RV, so you can have a cinematic choice of angle, yes, which was very definitely nice for bits of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it just gave it an extra dynamic, really, didn't it? So, I mean, I've checked out my little mini review that I do on YouTube. As soon as I watch one of these films, I literally set up my camera and do a quick 5 to 10 minute no thrill sort of instant review style. I've checked that out again since watching this film. I think I've watched it 4 or 5 times now. But what I really liked about the beginning, and like I say, heavy spoilers, is that it sort of starts at the end. You just see the girl in some sort of box fighting for what would appear her life, and then it goes into real style interviews on news outlets of people in the Halloween season that you will normally see on TV, of people getting interviewed.
I actually have my first and only fun fact.
Yes,
because I could find bugger all interviews. They're actually real interviews.
Perfect. Oh, that's good. I was going
to
say,
not a single sound bite was staged. They said to the people, "We're doing this film, blah blah, we'd like to interview haunters along the way. Are you cool for it?" The houses were actually houses. The haunters, the actual interviews, not maybe the interactions where they're arguing, but the actual interviews were all genuine interviews they did with
perfect
them.
See, that sort of makes it all realistic. And again, a good little bit of random knowledge there, for film knowledge from Dan. but yeah, that's what I liked. I think it's set up really well. The fact that people are there, it's like a news channel, and they're all saying, yes, it's Halloween, I love to scare people. And it starts off all quite cheerful of, it's Halloween, it's the best time of year, it's better than Christmas. And then all of a sudden, it's a little bit like, a bad thing happened once in this haunt, or yeah, someone died in this haunt and no one realised. Then they touch on the point of, are your actors background checked? And most of them go, well, all of them go, no, no, no. Without trying to get into the politics of all this, I don't think really actors always need to be background checked anyway. Like, it's
yeah, but who background checks only works?
Exactly. Like, you don't background check for so many different types of jobs, and this is no different, really. But it sort of set the sort of tone in the fact that they're saying, yeah, some people have killed some people in haunts, none of us are checked, and us as the audience have literally just seen a woman gagged and bagged in a bloody what would appear a coffin. That sort of makes you think, oh, right, okay, so we've kind of got the scene set already. And then it sort of follows the group.
And it does tap into, again, like I like about all the haunt things, especially the film Haunt, is it does tap into that, you go and do this. You go and, you know, you go to like little places in nowhere, or home haunts, or, you know, Broadwich Farm, which is that's a lot bigger. But, you know, you could go to somewhere like that, which is a lot smaller, and it's in the arse end of nowhere, and you just go through a haunt where people jump out, and you generally don't know what could happen. And it does, and that's a thrill, because in your brain it's safe because it's a haunt. But what if it's not?
Exactly.
It really
Exactly. And that this film, more than most, I think, really makes you think that as well, when especially in the fact that these they don't seem like actors. There's no cheesy lines as such. There's no silly jokes and whatnot like there are in the other films.
Yeah.
They're slightly older than the usual teenage bunch of people you have. They all have lives, they all have jobs, and they are there just to have a good time. And it just feels very organic, very real, so much so that the actors actually just use their real names. It's as if it is those guys doing a Halloween tour. And then as things on, you notice that one of the team don't get me wrong, they're enjoying these attractions and they're enjoying the fact that they're going from haunt to haunt, but he's pretty keen on getting the most extreme haunt out of the whole list, and that's Zach. And I met Zach and Bobby, two of the main characters. They were actually at ScareCon in 2015, really? Promoting the film.
Nice.
Really nice guys. They knew where to find alcohol at 4 o'clock in the morning when no one else did, so fair play to them. But yeah, they used their real names. It all feels very real. A couple of them are brothers, Mikey and Bobby. And Zach just wants to really, really find this extreme haunt.
I like to look at these sort of films where there's a two tests of found footage. One, is it entertaining? Is it just is it a fun way to tell the story? Another way I like looking at it is, if this had come out before Blair Witch, would you have fallen for it?
Yes, yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? If they just went, we found this, someone put it together and sent it to us, would you fall for it? And I think most people would have done it.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely would. If I didn't know that this was an actual film that you purchased and whatnot. Say this was just randomly on YouTube, and I know a guy who's made he calls them scare rooms. So basically, scare room one, scare room two, scare room, and he basically goes to these attractions, haunted attractions, extreme, some of them, and he just documents his night within this scare room. And this is a similar sort of thing. They're sort of like vloggers mixed with what that guy does. Andrew Georgiadis is his name on YouTube. Check him out. Really, really good stuff. So, yeah, like you say, if there wasn't, obviously, Blair Witch, you say horror found footage, everyone thinks Blair Witch straight away. That's sort of like a staple of this genre. But if this was just randomly on YouTube and it was just an hour and a half, documentary / vlog sort of thing, I'd probably think it's pretty real. It's just the real thing, because it does feel very, very organic.
Yeah, there's actually a film that actually conned me, called Sandman, which is SAPASAND, MAN.
Right.
And it conned me so well. I think someone sent me a link to it. Someone's, oh, I found this online, check it out. Had I known it's a real film, I would have just I would have bought it, because I thought it was just like one of these things that someone put up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was an actual film. But because I didn't know it was an actual film, I actually thought it was real till I was listening to the Movie Crypt podcast 5-6 years later. And then, oh, and you also did the film Sandman. They go, ha ha, yeah. And I was like, that was a film. So one film has genuinely got...
Sweet. And it's easily done if it's done well. And like I say, I bet there's a handful of people that have potentially watched Houses October Built who have thought, oh shit, that looks pretty real to me. And like you say, I think it's because there's lots of real things involved. Like the actors use their real, it's something as silly as trivial as that, but the actors use their real names. They are going real haunts. The news snippets and the sound bites are real. So it's all as organic as can be, and they've just manipulated, they've just pulled the strings on it, really. But pulled them really, really bloody well. The fact that it's sort of all gearing up towards this extreme haunt, and the way that I can relate to it, and like I say, it's a similar sort of thing. We just like to travel around the country, going to as many haunts as we can. But they are looking for this haunt, and it's not just as simple as buying a ticket. Now, I'm not going to say that I've had to
fight my way to find a haunt as much as that. But I have had to, you know, I was given a postcode location and then I was picked up randomly from there and taken to an unknown location. I've seen the similarities between what they do in the film, although they're slightly heightened, compared to what does potentially happen with extreme haunts. And again, spoilers in the film, it all... The smart thing that they did is they didn't just actively seek out this haunt called Blue Skeleton, the most extreme haunt. They also piss off the scare actors at the first haunt.
See, that's what highlights, because I didn't pick up on this till this watch, funny enough, and I don't know why, because I thought they were just... Because when nice people die, it's always a bit harsher. And I was kind of like, oh, man, they just really wanted to go find a haunt. But they're not. They're almost getting punished for their arrogance again. Because in every haunt, they piss someone off. They film in a house they're not meant to.
Yeah.
They get on the roof and piss people off. They square up to an actor. One of them says, I think the one who controls the camera most, it was in the past, but he said when he was a kid, he punched a scare actor because he scared them so much. The girl goes, oh, I'm not even in the house yet. Why are you scaring me? Another person makes a complaint. So... movie logic, they're not as innocent as I thought in the first God knows how many times I watched it. They are actually still the arrogant bastards.
Yes.
It's just a lot subtler. They do. They trample over haunt rules.
Yeah, yeah. And this one, the key thing they do, I think they climb a ladder and they just get on top of a roof of a haunt and shout out to a load of punters and whatnot. And although it's not a haunt rule break 101, but it's still, you know, you're going up a ladder, you're not supposed to be there, that's going to piss off the haunt owners.
Yeah.
And that's what gives us that element of shit. Basically throughout the film, these characters, like there's a doll face and a clown and whatnot, they seem to be following them over across the whole country. Yeah. And it does make you think, are they just pissed off actors who do want to... Are they those actors that, like they said earlier in the VT on the news channel, are they a bit fucked up? Are they going to mess with them and kill them? Or are they part of this whole Blue Skeleton scare haunt? You just don't know. You have it. The fact that they've had that extra element of they have actually pissed off some actors, I think just gives it a second level, another layer, as opposed to them just, there's some weird actors following us about whilst we're trying to find... an extreme haunt. It just gives it that extra layer, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I feel if it had been shot more cinematically, that would have been told.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a story that the scare actors have gone, oh yeah, let's get them all. It would have been alluded to a lot stronger. Because it is found footage and purely from their perspective, I think it crafted a lot more mystery into the story.
Yes, absolutely. Because although we've got visuals of the characters talking below within the... Basically, when they've shouted over to the whole big crowd and they're looking down on people and the characters are discussing each other, you can tell they're not happy with what they've done. But like you say, Dan, if it was in an actual film, you'd potentially have a cut of those going, let's get these fuckers, they've pissed us off.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not. You are only seeing this from the point of view of these, you know, these filmmakers who are trying to make a documentary about haunts. And like you say, Dan, they're all real haunts that they've gone to, which is pretty cool. There was one where they went to like a zombie paintball sort of thing.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
That reminded me of Farmageddon here in the UK. There's a few other attractions they went to, which you could sort of put, not parallels or such, but look at similarities. Was there anything that sort of jumped out at you when it came to them visiting the haunts?
Well, do you know what really jumped out at me, which I... don't know how I forgot it. I was watching it and Jess, my wife and also producer of Film Bouts mentioned, went, ha, this is like watching UK Haunts, isn't it? I was like, where do you think the visual inspiration came from?
Makes sense.
It is this film. It's literally UK Haunted. It's a real life House of October built.
You just didn't get killed or put in the ground.
Just...
Yes.
But yeah, but that's where a lot of the visual style came from. Because obviously, I did it all myself. I was like, travel around. Why do it myself? I mean, I wish I had that many people with cameras for that documentary. I really did. But yeah, but that's what really sprung to me. It made me quite nostalgic for the filming of UK Haunters. I was like, oh, man. I remember that. It reminded me of, like, it is so nice because they must have had such a lovely time doing it.
Yes.
Discovering these haunts as they go.
Yes, definitely.
Because that is how, as far as I can go, their scripted stuff is pretty much non-haunt based, mm-hmm. as far as I can tell. So obviously went, right, here's a bare bones, here's what we need to say in the RV and blah, blah, blah. But the rest of it was just them exploring. And I think that excitement really brings something to the... Because it is like watching, almost like watching a documentary. It is almost like watching people discover them. Because they even picked Dallas mm-hmm. because it's apparently the horn capital of the world, which now means I have to go to Dallas.
Of course.
But yeah, they said, oh, we picked there because we'd never been there. And it's like, wow, they are exploring as they're filming, which added so much authenticity to it.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. It's just that we were finding out new things as the characters were, but not, again, not in a forced way, just in a very natural style way. Like you say, like you would just be watching a documentary.
The only thing that bugged me in it was the rapey bit where the two guys grabbed the camera and corner girl in the toilet. And I was like,
yes, it wasn't really necessary, was it?
It wasn't necessary. Now, I am not the greatest fan of those. I like the sort of rape revenge films because it's more of the acts of people getting back than people getting attacked. Yeah. So it has a point in those films. In that one, especially when you're very much, although very subtly, these guys are pretty much dicks to haunt and haunt owners. That's why they're getting that mm-hmm. comeuppance. For two of the haunters to corner a girl and get a bit rapey, that's the one bit I was like, you're kind of changing the tone a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're putting the emphasis on the wrong people because we're saying the haunt industry is great. They're amazing. They're fantastic. These pricks started a road trip, massively fucking people off and endangering their lives, which is endangering the entire bloody haunt. So it kind of gives a justification for it. To them to turn the haunters into a bit rapey, I was a bit like, that's the only bit that I'm not too comfortable with this.
Definitely. Especially when it's just so kind of out of the blue compared to the structure of the rest of the film. And like you said, there's no payoff from it. It's literally just a 5-minute scene where it happens and then afterwards that's kind of it. You don't go back to them, you don't hear anything of them. It was just... granted, I suppose something like that can happen in a bar if you're in a middle of nowhere and you're classed as outsiders and whatnot. But it just seemed a little. And the only part of the film to me that felt a little bit forced compared to everywhere else.
Yeah, and again, it was just then painting. I could kind of understand the logic if they were going on the. Well, again, these are people wearing masks, so. You don't know who they are. Isn't that scary? But that's not really, that's been covered by the whole Blue Skeleton group. It was just not needed. And again, they look like normal bog standard people rather than an ultra creepy Blue Skeleton group. Just made it almost say like they were saying, oh, but you never know who they are. And it's like, that's just totally ever so, very small niggle. It did bug me a little bit.
Yeah, no, totally. I totally see where you're coming from there. Yeah, and it was just something that if that wasn't in the film, it would have made it not for the better as such, but you just wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
If they were to release a new version of a slightly different cut or a director's cut and that isn't in it, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. It does nothing for the film whatsoever. Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
I agree with that. Definitely. But
it's weird. We're going, well, that bit where they cornered a girl and tried to come on to her is disgusting, but they buried her later. And we're like, woohoo!
Oh, the burial was great. I love that bit. But yeah, we'll get onto that, definitely. The bits that I like more is the fact that Zach was very heavily looking for this extreme haunt, which is sort of the driving force of him going across country, trying to find, not only go to these proper haunts that we see and they visit, which is fun for me and you as haunt fans. We got to see actual haunted houses, which was great. But the fact that this Blue Skeleton, which would appear to be this very underground extreme style attraction, you can't just get an invitation, you can't just buy a ticket, you kind of need to really seek it out. And the way they kind of got their invitation to me was one of my favorite parts of the movie, when their RV is basically taken over whilst they're all sleeping. That was crazy. And again, they filmed it and let them see that they filmed it, and because otherwise people could go, well, why are we seeing all this from their point of view now? Well, no, the Blue Skeleton guys actually got onto their RV, they gassed them out so they're all asleep, they put rotten carcasses or whatever, they rotten meat in their fridge, took some photos of them sleeping and whatnot, and they actually filmed it on their cameras, so they woke up in the morning going, shit, did you film this? No, I'm asleep there. Did you film this? No, I'm asleep there. And then a pumpkin gets thrown at the RV. They have to carve the pumpkin, and that's where their invitation is. Now, that's elaborate as fuck, but that's one of my favourite parts, because, like, yes, that is mint. That is, if you want to do a crazy, fucked up, extreme haunt, if you want to make it as real as possible without actually killing people and hurting people, that is the way to do it.
See, but right, now on to it. I mean, have you seen the second one?
Yes, yes.
Okay, right. Again, I know he warned you about heavy spoilers, but the serious heavy spoilers here. The second one really pissed me off.
Oh, okay.
Because it comes to that whole point of, like, without actually killing people. Now, the whole point of the Blue Skeleton, the first one, is they kill people.
Did they?
They killed them. Well, yeah, they killed them. That was the point.
That was the idea. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it left you. They buried them. The last shot is a guy standing over a very obviously buried gravesite, mm-hmm. and he's just staring at the camera. Now, okay, they didn't actually say they buried him, blah, blah, blah. But then in the next one just pulled some sort of trickery. So like, the next one started by saying, oh, this is footage of five people that disappeared. And it was all a big bloody joke.
It was all a hoax.
The second one, if you've seen the first one, don't bother watching the second one. Just that it kills it for you. I think that's why it took me so long to watch this again.
Right.
I'm like, now I know it's called a joke. What the fuck? The whole point is they were that screwed up, and these people wanted the most extreme haunt, and they were assholes. So like, we will fucking teach you. This is your demise. We're going to screw you up this way. And at least that's what I don't know. I haven't seen an interview of the director to say otherwise, but that's kind of what I took from it. Is because they were assholes, they went through this such extravagant thing, and then they posted it online. And the way I read it, and again, maybe this is just my opinion, but the way I posted it is the Blue Skeleton put the entire documentary online. Yes. And that's what they did. So they showed these people being assholes to haunts.
Yeah, yeah. Although they weren't as probably as arsehole-y as the other films we've sort of watched with these teenage kids and such, but they still, they broke a few roles and stuff.
I mean, it was very subtle, but it had to be very subtle, I feel,
to make it real.
So I saw, that they posted it online going, and it even says at the beginning, the Blue Skeleton post people online, they don't say, but the kids were found or anything. So I feel the whole film is leading up to they died. They went looking for the most extreme haunt and they got killed. That's what's scary about it. It's not scary if it's all a joke.
Yeah.
And the fact in the second one, I know we go slightly off the first one, the second one really annoyed me. Over here, it's called the Blue Skeleton Group, I believe, or the Blue Skeleton.
It's called the Blue Skeleton, yeah.
Yeah. Not How's October 2, which would be a much sensible title. Mm-hmm. It is, because they go and find her and she's like, that happened years ago. I'm not doing it. They drag her back, and then it turns out the entire two films was a big setup. And I was like, oh, come on.
Now that's where I differ. I don't know whether or not, I think that's because you are, you're majorly the film fan and the horror fan, and you want the blood and gore, or you want the death, you want the payoff, basically.
Yeah.
And you feel slightly cheated on that payoff.
Yeah.
Whereas because I'm so much of a, I've been to quite a few extreme haunts, I think because I'm watching it from that point of view as opposed to me being a major horror film buff, I think that I didn't feel cheated by the end or the finale, or like you say, you kind of have to watch the second one to understand what the finale of the first one was, because it's a cliffhanger and a half. But because I'm an extreme haunt fan slightly above being a horror film fan, and I think you're the other way around to me, you're more of a horror film fan than an extreme haunt fan, I felt that the payoff was good for me personally, purely because I was like, fuck, now that is how you do an extreme haunt. But I wasn't watching it for a film then. I wasn't watching it for the entertainment value of the film and the payoff at the end, and I was watching it more so of just, wow, that's how you fucking do it.
It also brings that, well, the beginning was a lie, because at the beginning of the second one, it says these five people were never seen again. Well, yeah, they were, because what did they do? Just go into hiding after that?
Yeah, good point, yeah.
And also, the fact that they had to track the woman down and she's like, "Ah, no, never again, never again, never again." That's pushing reality a little bit for me within the concept of these two films. The fact that the Blue Skeleton did this and then waited several years, and this was all part of their big plan. I was like, that's pushing it for me, man. That is that's a touchy part. I mean, my dad always said, once you buy into the reality of the film has to stick to that reality. Right. And that reality is pushing it a little bit. You've gone the fact that these absolute nutters, these extreme Hallmark fans, gone a bit sideways, whatever it is. Or maybe I saw it, I kind of like the fact that these Hallmark fans are kind of doing the reverse Hallmark because they're getting a thrill out of killing people, not getting scared.
I see.
But it's kind of the opposite side. So even if it's about these people wanting to be scared, we're actually looking at these people wanting to kill them because that's their thrill. Where most films are based from the haunt customer's point of view, this is almost from the haunter's point of view, and it's their buzzes to kill people. That reality, I was completely cool. The fact they did this entire 6-year plan just to give them some T-shirts.
I see what you mean. No, I get what you mean. I suppose, I mean, and it's difficult for us to get, not a conclusion as such, but because we're both heavily involved in our respected genres that we love, like I say, I really enjoy haunts, just like yourself, you enjoy haunts as well. I can enjoy a good horror movie, but you're heavily dedicated to your horror movie. I'd like to know what a member of the general public thought of this film, because that would open my eyes up a little bit more, because I think although we both enjoy the film, and I think the ending, basically Blue Skeleton is just a longer ending of this film, really, isn't it? It's just giving you the it's taking the cliffhanger away, and it's trying to explain the whole thing, and I enjoyed it. I appreciated that. I was a little bit annoyed that it ended on a cliffhanger to start with, but I enjoyed Blue Skeleton, the House of October Built 2, just because it was, again, it wasn't the horror slasher or killing people or death that we've come to know in other stuff. It was more so about the haunt. And again, I think that is just because I relate to extreme haunts. So I'd like to know what... I'd like to make my brother, who doesn't like scare attractions, who likes a horror film now and again, he's quite, impartial to anything and unbiased and whatnot. I'd like to see what he thought of it, or my mum thought of it, because they, you know, extreme haunts to some people, or a lot of people, would be like, holy fuck, that is crazy shit, people actually do that. Whereas me, while I'm watching this film, I'm like, ooh, I've been buried alive before. That's pretty cool. Or I've been put in a box underground before. Or I've been waterboarded before. Or I've been gagged, bagged and tagged and put on a bus and taken to an unknown location. Literally, exactly like that scene. There's a scene where they say they've got their friend, so you need to get on this bus before we kill him in 60 seconds, 20 seconds, 10 seconds, which is a quite intense sort of film. And then they all get on the bus, and they do. They put bags over their head, they gag him, they tag him. And I've literally experienced that about 3 different times in different haunts.
See, that's quite interesting, because I'm completely polar opposite. I've never looked at it that way. I've never looked at it from someone who likes that. Because extreme haunts, I very, very much appreciate them. And I'm not one of these people who rallies against them. They are completely not for me. That's not what I like. I like Brodich Farm, Death Cell, Halloween Horror Nights. I like that sort of interactive fantasy fun. I don't like going through extreme haunts. Completely appreciate them, think they have a place, not for me. So I've never looked at the film. The cool bits was going through the house. I never looked at the extreme side of it going, oh yeah, mate, that would be that's actually kind of changed my mind a lot. Now
I'm glad you changed my mind about Hellfest, so you've changed your mind about this.
Because I thought the sequel, the only thing I liked about it, I was like, okay, you don't want to just do the same thing again. You don't want another bunch of people and a Blue Bear group killing again, because you've got to do something different. I understand that. But I just didn't like that. But as you said, I've never thought of someone watching it from a fan of Extreme Haunts point of view, just seeing it as, oh my God, if we were there, I would love to do that. Yeah, fair play.
Sweet. Well,
I might watch that one again. I've never seen it again. I watched it and went, bollocks. I watched it, I rewound it to the beginning, which still annoys me when I go, these people never seen again. I don't know, it did say that.
Yeah, that's a bit silly.
That is a bait switch. That I don't like. But I've never watched it since. It pissed me off. But with that in mind, and also now having done the documentary and actually knowing how Extreme Haunts work a bit more, I would actually give it another
chance. Definitely. I think that's what I did with Hellfest. I rewatched it thinking, you're right. Yeah, Dan is right. We are supposed to, we do want those people to die, really. And it does give you a different mindset on it. So, and that's why I say if a random member of the public watched it, they'd probably think very, very different to me. Not saying that I haven't done half the extreme haunts there are out there as people that do literally travel the world for them. And I feel that I've probably done 3 or 4 and I've had my fill now. I wouldn't say that I want to go and do this one or do this one, but I am quite a fan of knowing what's done in them and what people have to experience.
Yeah.
Which is why when, like I say, this film ends and you actually don't know if it was an extreme haunt, you don't know if they have been killed when they go into, basically you get shots of them in the coffins and they're all shitting themselves. You don't know whether they have been killed or you don't know whether this is an extreme haunt. And me, as a fan of horror and extreme haunts, throughout the entire film, I still don't know. I'm like, oh my God, they might be killed, but oh my God, this could be just a fucking awesome extreme haunt. And that's what I really enjoyed about it. And like I say, I felt not let down as such, but I just felt like I needed more answers with it being a cliffhanger. And that's why I think I enjoyed Blue Skeleton, because it is just an extension from the first film. It kind of shows you how that played out and how she became Coffin Girl and famous. Yeah. I do think that we'll probably talk about the second film in a separate episode, although it was a lot slower and more of a fun aspect of things before it started getting really shit kicking off with Hellbent. This one did, again, I think it sort of gradually built well, but rather than from a point of view of you potentially thinking, I think one of them needs to get killed now, or one of them needs to get popped off, or other people going, no one's died yet. I'm watching it from is this real or is it a haunt? And that's what I liked about it. That was the excitement for me.
It is weird how we just look at things so completely differently. Like I saw it as they're going to kill him and they're just fucking with him. And I was thinking, I always look at these things and go, at what point would I quit? Like when that one comes on the bus and screams, that'd be like,
I'm done now.
Okay, that's it. That's not stream enough for me. Mm-hmm. I'm gone. But yeah, I assumed they died. I mean, I didn't even consider it just being the stream, because it's a horror film and I'm watching it as a horror film fan. I just assumed they died. So when the second one came out, I was like, they lived?
Yeah.
That's all die. What the hell is that nonsense? So to me, it wasn't a cliffhanger. To me, they died.
Right.
That's it. End of story. They buried them.
Done.
Yeah. But as you said, if the Blue Skeleton released it, that's the mystique they want to portray. So that's what they would release. They would release the end like that. It wouldn't release them going, oh, you got me good. They'd be like, right, if you're that extreme, try and find us.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? There is, I mean, I don't know how underground it is, but I mean, there are things like that. Surely there's got to be things like that in the world. I mean, I'm about to do something as soon as social distancing is over. I've been given a postcode to park my car. I'm getting picked up and that's all I know. Wow. And the event is an overnight event in the middle of nowhere. Wow. So although I haven't actively gone and tried to find where these people are and what this event's called, I know what the event's called. I know it's a little bit different because I know the owner. So I suppose I have a slight sort of comfort blanket in the fact that I know this person. There's people in general public who have literally a website out of the blue has popped up and people have paid £100 a ticket to get sent a postcode. And that is all they know. That is literally all they know.
Have you heard of the tension experience?
I have heard of it. I don't know much about it, but I've heard it.
Believe it's a tension. I could be wrong. It's from the director of Saw 2, 3 and 4, I believe. I think they're the ones that did. But it's very much the same thing where they put a website out there. And if you went to the website's source code, there was a phone number in the source code, which lost me already. So I didn't know I had source codes. Then if you phoned a number, it gave you an address and like 100 people actually managed to turn up. But it is the same sort of thing where they literally, it's like they invade your life.
You know what? The tension experience. Yeah, I think I know someone who did it. I'm just looking on the website now. It's taking me to a website. I think
it's a tension experience. I could be wrong. He also did, rock operas? Oh, Devil's Carnival and Repo the Genetic Opera. It's the same guy who did those, who basically it's a whole long story. I'll tell you when we're off air. But yeah, but essentially he did a load of films, got more and more into the immersive side because the Genetic Opera, he basically bought the rights to and made it like a Rocky Horror thing. They went, this is amazing, sod films, I'm going to do, I believe, the tension experience. Yeah, but it's the same sort of thing where you had to find a number and the amount of just leaps of faith you had to do to get to a bunch of people you don't know to go, yeah, we're going to invade your life for a year when you don't know. Like someone's birthday party and they invaded the birthday party. I mean, it was on the Movie Crit podcast, which is the Adam Green one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not a competition, so I'm sure. but the guy properly goes into it, and it is extreme haunts to the next level. I mean, I don't know the episode number, but they're sure it's easy enough to find. Google it, whatever, but track it down. It is something. Yeah,
I'm going to have to do that, definitely. Because there is, like I say, these guys in the RV, they are, they're pushing the boundaries and trying to find this extreme haunt. And like you say, the attention experience there, these sort of things are about. And there's, you know, you find there's underground nightclubs or there's underground poker nights. You know, extreme haunts is definitely one of those, I'm sure. I mean, although this is, I'm not going to say mainstream, but when I signed up to do Cracked the first time, I didn't have to find it as such. It's sort
of... They are not mainstream. So. Hang on. If you think they're mainstream, you've been doing way too many extreme haunts.
Oh, good point. No, they're very not. Yeah, very, very not mainstream. But some are more accessible than others. Let's put it that way. As such, I mean, Cracked is accessible by, you know, you Google it, you find it on a website, you find reviews, you find my review.
Oh yeah, they've got
Facebook. But even still, okay, from their point of view, the first time they did that, no one knew who they were because the company behind it, although they've done scare attractions before, they actually kept themselves quiet. The actual group, Lisa, Rosie and James, no one knew who they were. They set up a fake character, as in Blake. They'll get very upset I've called him fake there. I'm sorry, Lisa, that he's real. I love Blake. I am Blake. They would set his page up and literally you'd buy a ticket and for a good number of weeks or months, he would invade your life on social media and he sort of not controlled what you did, but you had an element of you do what he says and when he says it. And I was given tasks before the event. And again, it's similar in a roundabout, obscure way, trying to bring it back to Houses of Octoberville or Houses of Halloween. in a similar way, they are doing kind of what the Blue Skeleton people want to do. They are trying to find these places. They went to the Mardi Gras festival to try and find the person in the blue mask who could lead them to the right way. And so extreme haunts, mainstream's definitely not the right word, but there's a mystique about them, and that's what I think Zach from this film really liked, and obviously that's how the film progresses, which is why we probably looked at it very differently. You looked at it from exactly what it is, as a horror film, and I sort of took myself out of the horror film and just looked at it from an extreme haunt, but could it be real? Yeah. Could it not be real? I think that's all my points, really. Obviously, the extreme haunt is pretty cool, and the fact that they do start burying people alive,
Do you know what I really liked in Extreme Haunt, and this was when I was pretty much convinced, sorry, is the fact that it has elements of things they were bitching about. They were going up, oh God, could you imagine they get kids to this, blah, blah, blah. And there's a kid in the end, the blue skeleton, and I was just like, so the things they're pissing and moaning about, they're actually using, which I kind of was a nice callback to them being twatty assholes, not really appreciating.
Yeah, definitely. And again, but like you say, it's done so subtly that it could be missed as well because it's so real.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's probably been some times where me and Hannah have gone to a haunt and said something that we haven't actually realised, oh, maybe you shouldn't have said that. you know, you don't mean to and whatnot, but because obviously you respect the art.
Do you know, I do find interesting over this conversation. Oh, let's talk about the other guy, the bit I liked in the end, was, and it's again, it's the fact that it's a found footage film. And maybe it's the fact that we know it's a joke by watching number two, but we've never discussed who are these psychos and how they get together. Where a film very similar, A Haunt, which is a lot more cinematically shot, that was a big point of our debate.
Yeah.
Was how the hell do these people get together? How do they decide to kill people? But in this one, because it's found footage, you bought into it instantly.
Yes.
You're like, yeah, they're just nuts. Yeah. But in the cinematic film, you really questioned it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite interesting.
That's a good point, actually. And again, it might just be the way our minds watch things, I guess. It's just, like you say, it's found footage,
acceptance.
It feels real.
It's acceptance of the found footage thing. Mm. Because it's found footage, you give it an extra acceptance of reality because of the way it's shot. Whereas the cinematic film, you go, well, why? Yeah. And I know Haunt has a bit more extreme things with the masks and stuff in terms of believability. But the basics is we really question how do they meet? Whereas found footage, you go, oh, no, it's a bit more real. You just go, oh, yeah, they're nuts. They met. Yeah. They didn't even think they met. They're just there. They do it.
You sort of give them a get out of jail free card, don't you? It's like, yeah, there you go. That's it. They're nuts, so that's going to carry on. Whereas other films, you're like, why are they so nuts? Why? We need a prequel to find out why they're nuts.
Yeah, but this one, you're like, yeah, it's fine. I did like the guy, the bearded guy.
Mikey.
I liked it when nice name. I like it when the guy's going through the haunt and he's chucked in the room, and there's a perspex glass between them.
And he's
like, get me out. That bit was amazing. That was terrifying. I think that's when I decided it was all 100% real. Oh, no, they killed him.
Yeah.
Because do you see him buried? Oh, I watched this last night. I can't remember. Do you see him buried as well?
I don't know if you see him. I know you see the girl. You see Brandy, Zach and Bobby, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm not sure if you see Mikey.
Because I mean, bad memory. I watched it last night because I think that was a point that was like, oh, he's not buried because he's dead. But the others, you've seen them kind of freak out, but not him. Could be wrong though, because you know, memory.
Yeah, my memory's bad as well. And also, I need to keep making sure I'm not blurring it with the second one, because I remember exactly what happens to him in the second one. I thought it was awesome. Again, the finale. What we need to do is our next episode needs to be about Blue Skeleton or Houses October Built 2. And like you say, if you're going to rewatch it, you might watch it slightly different to what you did the first time. Or everything I've just said might go out the window and you go, nah, Mikey, you're talking bollocks. It's still shit. But I love him. I appreciate the first one more because of the second one. Whereas I think you were the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was like, you lied to me.
You lied, you bastards.
You lied to me.
I think, I mean, I'm going through my notes. Obviously, I checked out my little YouTube thing I did when I actually watched the film as well. I think I've covered everything that I wanted to cover that I enjoyed about the film. And like I say, just for me, it's the... I loved it in the fact, like I say, not just the fact that it was a horror film. I enjoyed the documentary side of it more so. I love seeing these haunts. And like I say, I think I've been buried alive 3 times. No. I've been buried alive. I've been put in 3 coffins. No, 2 coffins, 1 box. And the box I was sort of buried underground with. And then just being put in a coffin. I was in a coffin and I was wheeled somewhere. That was another one. But yeah, so the fact that I saw that, again, a lot of people might see that film thinking, holy fuck, they're actually going to get buried alive. Whereas I saw it as they 50-50. They could be getting buried alive, or this could be awesome.
Because also, earlier on, she got buried. No, she got put in a coffin and freaked the fuck out. I think that was at the first haunt. So again, that's another night. There was lots of lovely little callbacks in it. I may just only just remember that one now. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I need to watch it again after you mentioning these as well, actually. I do find this one quite rewatchable. Again, although sometimes I'd say that some found footage stuff make me feel a bit like I say, watching stuff in the woods, getting really dizzy, watching people cry and have a, you know, snot bubble is that can make you dizzy and such. But this one, it's done quite elegantly. The second one done even more so because they have a drone that they show big wide aerial shots from, which is really cool. But again, they introduce the Earth as the watcher to the drone as if it's just another piece of their kit, which is what I really liked. But again, we'll get on that in the next one, on the next episode of that. Dan, was there any more sort of last points you had on House of October Built?
No, but I say it's a nice thing to watch because at the moment, with all this COVID nonsense still booting around, and I know haunts have started to open, but no one's quite sure how they're going to run and how Halloween, blah, 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 all that stuff's going on. For such Halloween addicts, it's nice just to watch something like these films, especially Hellfest, especially this one, which are so immersed in what at least appears in Hellfest, and is this one, actual haunts. It's just nice to get that Halloween vibe at a moment where it's still summer. You don't know what's going on with Halloween. You want to get excited, but at the same time, you're like, oh, but is it going to happen with all this nonsense? It's nice just to go, boom, there's some Halloween for an hour and a half, and a bit of horror chucked in as well.
I 100% agree with that. It is a good one to watch. It's quite easily accessible as well. Obviously, we're in the UK. I think I watched it on Sky. But yeah, it's in the UK.
I think it's on Prime.
Is it on Amazon Prime as well? I think it might be.
I think it's on Prime.
It's called Houses of Halloween here in the UK. I'm guessing you've already seen it if you've listened to this episode because it was spoiler central. But if you like spoilers and watching a film anyway, go and check it out. But yeah, Houses of Halloween here in the UK, Houses October Built in the US and around the world, which I think is a far better name. Do you have any idea why they changed the name, Dan?
No, I just assume that they maybe because it's not Halloween's not big over. Because if you think about honestly, we're talking about two haunt heads here. I did not know the UK haunt scene had a UK haunt scene till about 6 months before I started the documentary.
Yeah, good point.
So although Halloween has very very recently, I mean, really picked up speed a lot, it has not been big. Really, apart from me, who's always like, ah, some excuse to party or dress up or do a horror movie marathon or watch something at the Prince Charles Theatre and that sort of stuff. It's just not that, it hasn't been that big at all. And this came out, what?
2014.
So that's six years ago. I suppose they were thinking, and also haunt horror wasn't a big, I mean, haunt horror has only really kicked off since Hellfest and, you know, the big budget things like Escape Room. So I just think that maybe English people would be like, October built houses? What the hell is it? It kind of seems like Halloween houses.
Yeah.
Cool, we get that.
It's just more obvious.
Because the majority of English people aren't that big into Halloween, I presume.
Yeah, no, that's a good argument. Definitely, I'd probably agree with that. And the fact that October's just a month for people here in the UK, whereas using the actual word Halloween is just more obvious.
Like, for example, like my parents got married on Halloween. I mean, it was 50 years ago, but still. And I was just like, and you wonder why your son turned into a horror director. And they're like, said that it's not an English thing. So it's, you know, I mean, that was 50 years ago. But 50 years ago in America, Halloween was huge. So I think even though we've been picking up steam and we've got an amazing haunt scene, which hopefully people will learn not more about when they buy the documentary.
Coming out in September.
Coming out in September. I'll be screwing about that as soon as I can. I just think that the Americans, they're like, it's not that big over there. So people won't associate October with Halloween. Now, me and my wife associate end of August.
Yes, Halloween, same. Yeah, definitely.
Go, get out the pumpkins!
Yeah, didn't you have a Halloween party the other day?
I did. And yeah, my neighbours didn't find it too funny. We were actually going to do Christmas the next week, but we had such a bad reception. We got out all our Halloween decorations and decorated the front garden as like a not really a haunt because there was no like animatronics or anything. Although we did have an animatronic, we had the animatronic child on the robot duck.
Oh yeah, I said on the
doorway. Yeah. Then we had all the pumpkins out and the black cats, and we had banners saying Happy Halloween, and we got individually wrapped packets of Haribo for the kids to trick or treat. And we're just sitting there having a drink and playing spooky music and whatnot, and people ushered their kids across the road. Like people went, they were not happy we got dirty looks. A few people were interested. One kid stopped and asked about them and called me a child killer, which I thought was quite funny.
Nice.
So this is, you're really weird. I was like, well, I know, but why specifically you accuse me now? You're decorated all this stuff to amuse kids. I was like, I'm amusing myself.
Yeah, this is for me.
you're a bite. If I can bring a bit of happiness to somebody else's life, cracking, but this is for me.
Back off, kid.
But yeah, no, the South Woodford Halloween coronavirus festival did not go down well.
So we won't be seeing it for 2021. That is a shame.
Well, if there's another coronavirus, I might do it just to piss people off who've obviously got no sense of fun. But yeah, no, I did have a little slice of Halloween.
Perfect. And hopefully we'll all get a slice of Halloween this year. Fingers crossed, touch wood. Awesome. I think that brings us to the end of our spooky movie review. I thoroughly loved House of Octoberville. You guys should check it out as well. Dan, thanks so much for coming on, chatting all things horror with us again. And I think the next one has to be Blue Skeleton.
Okay, I'll give it another watch.
Yeah, you got to watch it. Enjoy it this time. Cheers, buddy.
Cool. Catch you later.
You're listening to Scare Trap.
And there we go. But before we go, we did ask you guys over on our social media. I literally put it up just as we were about to press record. So we've got a few replies on what you guys thought of Houses Octoberville. And over on Instagram, we've got Welsh Horror Guy saying, I loved it. Nick Babb saying, I enjoyed it. Fantastic anthology. Obviously, there's a second one that I can't wait to discuss as well. Dan wasn't a huge fan to start with. I think I've turned him round. I think it was fantastic. Such an awesome two films. It's great to watch them back to back. And Brooks9775 saying, we want scare events like that. And like I said, I think we have quite a few events similar to what they went to visit. A few haunted houses. I obviously recognised the idea of the event, or a few scenes looked familiar to me. Of course, the paintballing scene, we have something like that here in the UK at Farmageddon. So it's cool to see the similarities. And like I say, even similarities when it comes to Blue Skeleton. Of course, that was a little bit more intense. I don't want anyone raiding my hotel room or my RV if I'm going to an event. But I have been buried alive a few times, put into a random van and bagged and gagged and tagged. So although these things are a lot more extreme for the quote-unquote normal average viewer, you'll get so much more of it as a haunter, and even more so from it if you have experienced extreme haunts. It has so many different levels, this film, and I think that just progresses into the second film, which is Houses Octoberville 2, or here in the UK, The Blue Skeleton. So if you've seen the first one and you listened to this episode, I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much. If you haven't seen the second one yet, go and watch that now, because we'll be discussing that with Dan on the next movie review episode. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. As always, make sure you're supporting us over on social media so you never miss out on any content that we put out. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track, or you can find absolutely everything Scare Track related over on our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk. You can also get our t-shirts on there. We've got mugs, we've got hats, we've got all our merch on there, and that really does help us keep the show going, especially in these weird, crazy, awkward times where we can't really get to many events at the minute, can we? So who knows when our next scare event will be, but fingers crossed it's sooner rather than later. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Once again, a huge thank you for watching. Huge thank you to Dan from UK Haunters for coming on and discussing this episode, this movie in this episode. And thank you to the guys that made Houses Octoberville. It really is a favourite here when it comes to the UK haunt scene. So I really want a third one. Make a third one, guys. Come to the UK. Make a third film. So anyway, I'll stop begging. That's it for this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. And we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.